I don't wanna go to work. I just wanna chill and play all day. Look him dead in the face and say, I wish I could just be still asleep while you work.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Jobs Blow podcast with Brianna and Josh.
The podcast for dreamers with and without day jobs.
We are so glad to be back after a year, and we're looking forward to sharing even more inspiring stories as well as perspectives on surviving life in, during, around, and now after a pandemic.
Actually, Josh, it's not after a pandemic. That really bothers me.
I know.
Me.
I've been saying that a lot.
Why are you saying that?
I'm trying to say we're back after a year off from the pandemic. So maybe I should just say that.
So then that's what you should say.
Okay. I'll say that next time.
So now I'll say yes, Josh, because after more than a year, and I'm not sorry to say this, things still suck. And we all need a bit of inspiration, motivation, and most importantly, fornication to get us through the day.
Yes.
Which is a perfect segue to our guest today. But first, we chat.
How
Josh,
are you?
What's new?
Oh, what's new? I was on our guest podcast last night talking about as dirty as I've been allowed to talk in a year because I've basically been home quarantined with my family. So that was a huge refreshing moment for me. So thank you, ladies.
But you're lucky because your kids are too young to really understand. Whereas I have a 12-year-old who
was in the other room,
like
right?
Wanted to know why Jobs Blow was such a dirty name. And I was like, I don't really want to talk about it.
Well, that's good. You know what? Let's get right into our guest.
Oh, you don't want to know how I am?
Well, how are you? You fine? You good?
I'm all right.
You look good?
Okay.
Did the job work out? Did it pan out yet? Do we know?
I will let you know. Do not.
Okay, jinx you me. Let me know. No jinxing. Okay. Let's get right into our guest tonight because on top of having four people talking, these two ladies are hysterical. They have no filter. I love it. They are from their own podcast called I'm Not Sorry Podcast. They are moms, writers, Bostonians. Keep in mind of that. And they're just real people looking to have real, relatable, funny, and wildly inappropriate conversations. Welcome, everybody. Kerry Tabaski and can I say Deborah? When I see it spelled like that, I want to say Deborah. But
you
it's Deborah DeFrancesco.
You want to say Devorah, don't you?
Devorah from the Jewish name. But you go by Kerry and Deb, right? Kerry and Deb, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. How are you guys?
You
I just muted myself because my fucking dogs are barking.
Oh, I'm great. Like, why is Kerry not speaking again?
My dogs.
This is what everyone needs to know for today as we move forward. We have three moms on the show and it's just like random brain thoughts. I'm just going to hang on for the ride here because I have a feeling.
I'm just excited because it's rare that I am with other women who are described so similarly to me with no filter. Like, and I have to ask you two because you're married. What's the husband dynamic? Because my husband is... He handles it, but I know he gets uncomfortable.
So. Mine's used to me. I always feel like, you know what you're married. Like I think from the time we met to the time we got married and now he knows what to expect, but right. He certainly knew when, I was worse, so to speak. Now I know how to filter it when I need to, you know, right. Whereas before right. My filter was all sorts of wonky.
Like, where are you your worst, at a party?
Oh yeah, with a few drinks and on my podcast.
Right? What
family,
about you?
Family dinners.
Right. Usually. Like, does it come out on the holidays or just at parties or like?
It just now I don't give a fuck. It just comes out wherever I wanted to, and but my family knows to expect that from me too. If you're friends with me at this point in my life, you know what you're getting.
Were you like that as a kid, growing up?
Actually, no.
Teenager,
yes, but I was painfully shy when I was young.
Really?
So like probably
I was never shy.
Oh my God. Like I was very shy. And then I found my voice and then it just was downhill from there.
No, I was the girl that went up like every show and tell and shared like family dysfunction drama as part of the show and tell. Like this weekend, my brother was taken to a juvenile detention center.
Oh my God.
And my dad, like, yeah, I've always been an overshare. That is the other thing. I not filtered and I overshare.
Well, and I grew up with three sisters. So we're all very close in age. So we all had to fight for our voice. So right. The dinner table conversation was just like, you know, very small bits and pieces of sentences and nothing ever complete. And
well,
everyone just trying to talk over each other.
What? You have to pick your avenue. Like, oh, yes, she's the science sister. I'm just going to be dirty potty mouth and tell, like, you know, dick jokes to my dad and see if he laughs or not.
See, now I grew up with three brothers in my house. Jesus so Christ. I that's why, like, Josh knows me as a bossy.
Oh, the bossy bitch.
Because
as you'll see,
control. I have to take control. Right. All I could think of tonight was there are going to be three of me on the show.
Yes. Right. We're not in control.
This is why Brian lets Brianna do this. Her name, her husband's name, by the way, is Brian, which is awesome. Awesome. Right. But this is why he's so excited to support the show, because it's an hour and a half that he gets a break and dumps her on me. It's great.
Well, you know, I found it very telling. People were like, you should watch I'm Sorry, because Andrea Savage reminds me so much of you. And he hated that show.
Really?
Oh, I love that show. Much.
I know. But
my husband loved it, though. It was a mutual love.
He didn't get past the first episode that was all about anal sex. Like,
why did he?
Oh, was that with the porn star?
Yeah, he absolutely hated it. And so I was like, starting to internalize it. I'm like, I don't think my husband likes me.
Have you seen Fleabag? That show is.
Yeah, what's the feeling on that?
He didn't like that either.
Did you like it? Let's pull the audience here. Loved it. Carrie loved it.
I liked it, and I would have stuck with it, but he didn't like it.
So. I get annoyed after a while. That kind of humor starts to wear thin on me.
Okay. You couldn't root for her. It was funny and it was entertaining, but you couldn't root for her.
I could totally see that, because I got up to the point, and this isn't giving away any major secrets, like her best friend died suddenly. And you want to feel bad and you're just like, oh my God, but you're such a dick. Like,
right. Well, she knows it. That's the thing.
Totally. Exactly.
She grew over the course of the two seasons.
I just want to mention that we're not really talking about what our show is about.
Oh, it doesn't matter. This is a kind of.
No, but the reason I bring it up is I listened to one of your shows today, and one of you said, and it's one of my favorite sayings is, when you burn the bridge,
let it light the way.
Yes.
That was me.
Yes. Yes. We're very aligned.
Wait. I burn a lot of bridges. What do you mean by that?
May the bridges I burn light the way. Like, you don't give a fuck. You're people like, oh my God, you should never burn a bridge. Burn that motherfucker down. Because you know what? Half the time you burn a bridge, it's usually for good fucking reason.
Yeah. You know, I can thank you for saying that, because you just gave me so much self-confidence for all the mistakes I made. Thank you.
Yeah. So obviously our show is about people pursuing their dream jobs. I read your brief bios on your website. I know one of you, I think it was Carrie, did marketing and PR.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And now, Deborah, I'm totally going to blank on what I read that you did, but I'm interested to know, are you still doing those jobs and pursuing writing and the podcast, or are you focused solely on the podcast and writing?
Debbie.
Oh,
you want to go first?
Doing nothing other than writing and podcasting.
Oh no, you're not doing nothing.
No. I mean, I'm not planning weddings.
That's what it was. You were
a wedding planner.
Yes. I plan weddings. I studied science. I did all that fun stuff, and now it's just writing and playing with Carrie, which is so much more fun.
So is that? How did it? Talk to us a little bit about, like, how the idea or the passion for the podcasting came to be. Were you writing a project together first, a script, and like, or what? Like, what? Where did the genesis come from, and how do you kind of push through it all?
Over a sandwich at Panera, right?
Yes,
right.
Like, it was one word.
I actually was a screenwriting major in college. I went to film school, but that was a long time ago. And then I kind of did the Hollywood thing. I worked for the Grammys, and then I came back to Boston and raised a family and did some other stuff, had a baking business, tried to, like, stay, you know, just have different skills, keep reinventing myself. Mm-hmm. And then, I had the opportunity to to work on a show, that didn't end up panning out, but we got a lot of people involved. It opened a lot of doors. Right. And at the same time, I was offered a job to run the Boston Podcast Network and produce podcasts. And I was having a meeting, because we didn't have a studio at the time. I was having a meeting at Panera.
Ah.
And it's so funny, because it was like, we were going to go somewhere else. And then I was like, let's just go to Panera. And then we went to Panera to meet and ran into a mutual friend of Debbie's. And she's like, oh, have you ever heard of The Bitchless Bride? I was like, oh, sure. I didn't know who she was, but she's like, she's looking to do a podcast. She's, you know, she does all the stuff, blah, blah, blah. She's been on. And I think Erica like said all, you know, said everything that you did. Like she was on Yahoo Finance. She did this. She was on, you know, sat down. I don't know. She gave me her bio, but weird. I was like, of course I've heard of her. And so then Debbie got in touch with us to produce her podcast. Right. But as soon as Debbie and I talked for the first time, I just knew that we were spirit animals. She is as driven as I am. She wants, you know, she's as creative. She's great with relationships. We're very, very similar people. And Debbie, you can take it from there, from when, after we met and you offered to plan my daughter's bat mitzvah.
I did.
That was your way out of weddings.
It was like a week before my daughter's bat mitzvah that we talked for the first time. She's like, do you want any help?
I will happily help you. No, but say exactly what Carrie said. We, the mutual friend, Panera, all that fun stuff, very serendipitous. And we, when that first time we talked, I mean, I think we both knew that we were going to just continue to be in each other's lives. And so I hired the company. I had Bitchless Bride and it was just the blog. And so I was doing a lot of writing, blogging, vlogging. Actually, there's some old videos of me.
video blogging,
girl.
I know. I want to look those up.
Vagina Busta Hyman blogging. No, I'm kidding. But so then I was like, I really do want a podcast. I'm curious about it. I feel like, you know, same thing. I had been pitching wedding shows to networks to no avail and not getting anywhere. And for the first time, I'm like, I wanted to be like, you know what? There's such a flaw in my industry. There, you know, the customer is not always right. The, you know, just because you're a bride doesn't mean you have to be a fucking bitch. And I really wanted to talk about a lot of that. And plus too, as somebody who's had kids and been married and moved on, you know, you're going to wish you weren't a dick on your wedding day.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about that and bring guests on. And so Carrie produced it with Dave and it was so much fun. I did three seasons. Carrie co-hosted my third season with me. Wow. And then we knew we were both writers. We knew that exactly what Carrie said, driven. And so, I mean, I've been writing as a gig for a long time. But
writing what?
It was Bitchless Bride. I wrote articles for Martha Stewart. Oh, wow. I was on Yahoo Finance. Like, I sat down on their live show, which was terrifying, honestly, but a lot of fun. And then I did like three or four clips on video for them for their website. And so it was like, I was a wedding expert.
And you were media focused. I mean, you had media experience writing. You knew how to present. Was the Bitchless Bride podcast, were you talking about specific old clients or what was kind of like, what did it seem to be the theme was?
So that's how it started. I would say it was like an online journal that I was hiding behind the name. So I didn't attach my name to it for the first 6 years, wow, truly, because I was working with live clients and like just anything and everything. I was like, really? Like, why do you get to be this way? You know, who cares? Who cares? Like some of the minutiae, the brides and actually a lot of grooms too would get obsessed with. And I'm not talking like money stuff because that I get, you know, but just like some of the bullshit. You're like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
So that was a good outlet for your yes, like just to bitch and get it off your chest.
It was cathartic. And then all of a sudden I started getting a following. I'm like, fuck, I gotta learn how to do this. And so I put my heart and soul into it. And then I got a call from Elizabeth Vargas's people. And they're like, hey, we want you to come sit down with Elizabeth. I'm like, really? Okay. And so they flew me to New York, paid all my expenses. At the time I was going, my vlogs were a hot pink wig and sunglasses. And then my husband would fuck with my voice. So I sounded like, you know,
so you were like Sia, like nobody sees her face.
No one. Yep,
do
no
the
one,
Sia thing you guys did. Yeah. With the thing. Oh, Sia. There it is.
That looks like the black dot when you're
right hiding here behind our,
our pop filters.
I need to raise my chair because I'm still short anyway.
You should have done a show that is like the bar rescue and wedding rescue, and you should have gone in and like kicked their asses. Like,
I totally tried. And that was the thing. And then like once I was on with Elizabeth Vargas, it was so super cool. But I started to get like the TV thing. And then like, there's some days I'm like, oh, God, it's such a hard business. I've been pitching and different places and, you know, getting your hopes up. It's like my personality is highs and lows.
And so is this business. And I guess it goes well together, but it's
a mind fuck.
It's really hard. You know,
I think though, to like survive in it, and this is just from when I've had more comfort with it, but like, it's to constantly be having something in front of you. Either you're working a show and you know, you have to be a call time, or just like a project in front of you. I think it's the downtimes when you like pull yourself back that your mind starts spinning and it stresses you out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the, you know, our mutual friend Tim is always saying like work begets work, right? So like that, it makes sense in the regard that it keeps your brain kind of going, but it's also exhausting. So you're choosing exhausting over anxiety of you know what's going on. I have a question about how did that, so kind of being somebody that was, you know, kind of blowing up the wedding space and saying here are these asshole guests and clients and here's did that play into fandom? Because it's something we talk about here a little bit about like how far do you push the envelope of truth or blowing up the spot of some industry. Did it were you getting followers that were people that were like finding you being like, I love how she talks shit about these people.
Yeah. And you know what? Surprisingly, it wasn't as much the brides. It was the vendors. And like,
really? Well, they probably shared your wrath. They were like, oh my God, these people are awful.
Finally, some girls fucking saying it. Mm-hmm. seriously, like someone needed to talk about it. No one was. And that was kind of like, I was truly doing it for myself, and it started as a hobby. And then all of a sudden I'm like, fuck, I am getting followers. I need to know how to do this. And I started doing a lot more research. I started, you know, then I started putting some feelers out there. I wrote for the Huffington Post a lot and just to get my perspective out there and really like made me feel better about my life. If I had a shitty wedding or a shitty bride, which in fairness, they're not all bad. I mean, I really did love what I did, but you know, one can ruin the whole batch for a while. You're just fucking jaded.
You were wedding planning. You were from top to bottom or working for a venue or various venues?
I did all sorts. So I worked for high-end hotels where I worked in their catering department and I planned everything soup to nuts from the catering and from like the hotel side. You know, I wouldn't go with them to get their dress or whatever. And then I did it for myself where I'd go to the fitting appointments and I'd refer them to all my vendors and I would create timelines. And
here's when I listened to your show today, you had talked about during the show how things just happen. And I think it's funny because you two meeting doesn't feel like it feels like it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So do you still feel that things just happen or do you feel,
I don't know. No, Debbie and I talk about this a lot, that we, as tough as this business is, I feel like we're a lot further. Cause I worked on a show for, you know, 4.5 years trying to get it made. And I feel like Debbie and I have been doing this for just over a year or so, together, maybe a year and a half. And as far as like pitching TV shows and, you know, we got our first option almost like right away and for a reality show. And we work so well together that I'm like, Debbie, I don't have any doubt whatsoever that something's going to happen. And we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And in the beginning of 2020, we were like, this is our year. Things are happening.
It was no one's year.
We had a TV show with the production. We were working with National Lampoon on a show. And then everything kind of went to shit. But then what happened was that Tim said, our manager said, you need to start your, because every time we have a conversation with them or with our agent or whatever, they would be like, you guys need to record this. You need to record this, your conversation.
You're crazy.
They're really funny because you're crazy. And so we started this podcast and I'm Not Sorry is like a perfect name for it because there's a lot we talk about and we're not sorry for it. Right. But it, just like you said, Josh, it's the creative muscle. It's the constantly thinking about, you know, we never have downtime, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you know, we're always thinking about either our TV shows that we're working on or the podcast or both, or how we can incorporate the two. And, I don't have any doubt that Debbie and I are like in this for the long haul, right? Yeah. Debbie, do you feel the same way about me?
Everything. Yes, 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 yes. Oh,
you're lucky that you found each other, because I've had like writing ideas and I can't do it in a vacuum. Like I need somebody to bounce things off, and I get started and I do stuff. And actually my brother ironically works for Sony in TV production. I try to engage him. I'm like, all right, here's my script. Like, let's work together. And he'll give me feedback, but like, I'm like, no, I really need you to like
do the help, do
move
this,
it right. up the fucking chain.
Right. No, but like, he gives me ideas, but I'm like, can you put pen to paper and help me out a little bit?
Actually, Brianna, I looked at your script that you sent the other day, and I think it actually is something.
What are you talking about?
The one you sent a while back that was like about the PR.
Last year.
No, I looked at it the other day. You sent it to me a year ago.
I've revamped that.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Jobs Blow podcast with Brianna and Josh. And if you like what you hear, we promise you'll like what you taste. You have got to try Mr. Bing's Chili Crisps. They are sweet, savory, spicy, crunchy, and crispy all at the same time. And they are literally the best condiment to add to any food, like eggs or pizza, tacos, or even on a salad. I like to cook with the Chili Crisps, and you can even add them to a bowl of ice cream. So make an order today and use our special Jobs Blow discount code. Just go to mr-bing.com. That's mr-bing.com and put in the code Jobs Blow for a spicy 10% discount on your next order. Thanks so much. And now back to the episode. One of the other things we like to talk about is how some, you know, how different guests give different advice of like what they're doing. And one of our recent guests had said how like his podcast was kind of part of like the spoke on the wheel, right? So it's one of many things that you're doing that helps the overall goal of where you're trying to go. So do you look at the podcast as more of like the main goal right now for you, or is it more spoke on the wheel?
It's a little both.
Yeah,
I feel
definitely.
Like, I feel like, what day is it? Some days we're like all in podcasts but the truth be told, if something is needed and like, we will drop everything relating to anything. If something needs to be done related to the TV aspect of what we're doing, because that actually could lead to so many other things too.
So double question. Is this your dream job, right? Is Deb and Kerry the dream job, or the podcast a dream job? And also at the same time, what's a job that blew?
Deb and Kerry is 1,000% a dream job.
1,000 million.
Even the days it's not, it is, right?
Yeah. Like, we're so in sync with each other, and we definitely disagree on things, but we know how to work through it, and it lasts for like 5 minutes. Like one time Debbie was like, that's a hard no for me. And I was like, I hung up. I'm like, that's a hard fuck you. And I'm not going to listen to you. And I'm going to use my judgment and whatever.
And
then
you guys went out last summer and had cigarettes on the street with the guy.
Well, she did. But no, we just, you know, partners can't always agree on everything, but we bring our own opinions. We bring our own experience. And I think that's what makes it work. And we're also, we're just done with drama. So there's we don't have time for it. Nope. So whenever we, you know, so, and I just think that this just works, but also our podcast is about stop apologizing. So we say, you know, I'm not sorry. It's like, we're trying to teach people to stop apologizing.
Especially women. Because I over apologize.
Especially women.
1,000,000% for taking up space. Not, it's you and the general you.
What we're talking about is you go to a restaurant and they get your meal wrong, or the food's cold, or whatever it is, you don't like it. People are worried about women are oftentimes, they don't want to speak up. They're, I'm sorry, you know, I don't want, I'll
I'm
just,
so sorry
it's okay.
to send this back. I'm not sorry. I'm
right.
Paying like, for that.
Like, right. Or, you know, you pay a lot for a manicure and it looks like shit and you want to go and you're like, I paid good money for this, but you don't want to take up space and you don't want to, you know, them to think that you
don't want
to
be
a bitch. This bitch. Right. So, well, right, Debbie, like what happened what was it last summer when we were sitting in the parking lot in a restaurant and
looking at a Walmart
and like it took forever to get our.
Yeah, we ordered, we had a COVID evening and we went outside And we went to this Mexican restaurant and we were like, yeah, let's get some margaritas and chips and dip and whatever. And they like, it's like they sat us and forgot about us. And we're like, totally weren't like 1,000,000% busy. And like, there's just a bunch of like little annoyances, but we couldn't even get water. And after 20 minutes, you just flag down anyone and you're like, Hey, can you find anyone to take my, first of all, I want a fucking drink. Secondly, and then the funniest part was the hostess who was 12 and a half. I mean, she was like her first job. And right. And so we finally flag her and we're like, hey, you know, no one has come up to us and can you find a server? We're just, you know, we're friendly. We're like, we're just thirsty and hungry and whatever. And she's like, oh yeah, I heard that you guys were the ones complaining. And she literally said that. What? And Karen and I are like, complaining. It's called speaking up, not complaining. Because if a guy did it, if two guys were sitting there, I feel like she would have turned around and said, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. We didn't get that. And we weren't even asshole. Like we weren't
Karens.
Right. No, we weren't Karens. We're funny. We're like, dude, we want a cocktail.
Yeah. We just wanted a drink. We'd been sitting there for half an hour.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And really we got free guacamole out of it. But
good job. That's always a score.
Totally worth it.
Wait, let's go back to the jobs that blew. Let's focus on Carrie or Deborah, whoever wants to tell first. Shoot.
Well, I think that when I first graduated from college, I was trying to save money. I worked at a radio station and radio sales. I was an assistant and my boss was so tough. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She just yelled all the time. And we made like no money. But here's the thing. And then a few years later, I went to work for the Grammys. And if you've ever seen Devil Wears Prada, Meryl Streep's character, it was like a combination of my boss for the Grammys and this woman that I worked for in radio. Mm. But what I will say was that I learned so much from these two. I mean, we used to say that my boss, the one in radio, had teeth down there. She was such can I use the C word?
Down where?
She was such, so demeaning. It was awful. Mm-hmm. But I learned how to deal with difficult people. And so then going to the Grammys and dealing with this very difficult person who was left shortly after I left the Grammys for sexual harassment, but with an $8 million severance package.
Wait, you did?
No. So my boss, after I left, there were some allegations of sexual harassment against him. Not from me.
Oh.
He never harassed me. I guess I wasn't pretty enough. I don't know. So then you can look it up. I'll tell you about it later. So then they hired this woman to be in human resources to monitor his behavior. And they ended up dating.
Jesus.
He dated the monitor.
She ends up suing him for sexual harassment. She settles for $600,000.
Oh my God.
And he walks away with $8 million severance package.
Oh so my God.
He wasn't a yeller. Jesus. He didn't yell. Like when I worked for him, he didn't yell. He was biting. Like he would insult you, call you stupid. And then he'd be really sweet. It was like an abusive relationship.
Oh, my boss at, I won't say the name, but he called me, he told me I was ignorant or an imbecile. And then he bought me flowers.
Well, is it the same person that we worked for?
Well, this person was in TV. So it's quite possible. The industry is just rampant with this kind of behavior.
Yeah, but it was the best and worst job I ever had because I got to work for the Grammy Awards and be in the presence of greatness and go experience, you know, backstage at these awards and watch, you know, BB King and Eric Clapton rehearse together and Madonna and, you know, Ricky Martin. And like, it was, and I got to go back the next year to watch J-Lo in her dress and everything. And I learned so much about working for difficult people and again, not taking no for an answer. So years and years later, Debbie and I working together, we don't like to take no for an answer and we're persistent, but we're not assholes.
Right. And there is a way you can do that and not be an asshole. And I think that's my frustration. Cause every time I'm just like, again, really? Like,
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Nice.
I know.
Yeah.
Does that go into
the burning bridges thing too, as far as like, fuck it. I'm not saying no. I'm not taking over an answer. If I have to burn a bridge with someone else, I'm going to do it because I have this goal and this destination and I want to get there.
I don't think it's for that. I think it's more for like the toxic people
and
the people I surround myself with. And like, I don't feel bad for letting go of those kind of people or quitting and not giving my 2 weeks in my bad job. Or, you know what I mean? Like there was, whereas normally like I would 100% give 2 weeks notice and feel very guilty that I only gave 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Whereas like my bad job and she can go suck my ass. She was, I think a boss can destroy something that's supposed to be really beautiful.
Right.
And so basically after I was planning weddings on my own for a while, I was still like postpartum and Molly was about 2.5 or 3. And I'm like, I need to work. I like what no one tells you about working for yourself is how isolating it can be too.
Right.
So if you're used to the camaraderie of a team and especially like weddings, like, man, I spent hours. I mean, it was like 12 to 14 days at a hotel and like most of it, we had the dream team. So we had a great time and God, I learned difficult people from who I worked for to who my clients were. So I have that. And I think I'm so grateful for that. But then this corporate, very corporate hotel wanted to start planning weddings and they wanted somebody as an expert to bring in new, like fresh blood. And they're in a very corporate part of Boston. So I interviewed and I was very blunt. I'm like, I am not a corporate girl. I'm like, I will dream big and help you do all these amazing things, but here's who I am. And I was very blunt. And they buried me under paperwork. It was weird. I felt like I was out of Office Space, you know, where they just loading shit on my desk. And I was like, what the fuck? And like, she was also just, she was the biggest cunt in the whole world. And she, wow. I was taking the train in. I had a 2.5, 3-year-old. And if my train was late, I would literally like have a panic attack because I knew she was like watching the clock or asking me. Nice. The people reported to me, someone was 5 minutes late. She's like, you need to write her up. Like, in a hotel, you have stand-up meeting. So you'd like, you'd basically go around me like, oh, this is who I'm meeting with. This isn't the clients. Da, da, da. This is what's going on in my day, essentially. And this one woman was late to stand up. And by late, I mean, she walked in and she still had her jacket on. And so she hadn't put her things down. She's like, that is like the third time this week. And I'm like, so what? It's fucking public transportation. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like,
right. Some people just, it's for sport. They're just mean for sport. And I just will never understand because like you said, when it's a boss, that's trickle down. And it makes all the people miserable. Nobody want to come. And then, you know, when I finally got to an executive position, I tried to like protect my junior staff from that negativity. And let me tell you, that'll kill you.
Yes.
Being the person that's trying to make keep people happy and also like get the life sucked out of you.
I found that without going into like, I found that when I tried to do that too, like be the buffer or say, I'm not going to treat my employing like my staff this way, it always ended up coming back down on me anyway, 100%. As far as taking the brunt of it and then having the bad reputation. So they're giving me shit and the ones below me are not getting any shit and I'm taking all the shit. And that's why I say like the burn the bridges thing resonates so well, because it's just like, you're right. Like burn the bridges and let it light the way. Because
the worst is when someone gets you there, something's got to get you somewhere. Well, the worst is when someone coming up is going to be like that person you're protecting them from and you get fucked from both sides.
Oh, God.
I had that happen too. I was like, wait, what's happening here? You just screwed me. I got screwed from the bottom and the top. You're like,
I can't even do this anymore.
Yeah.
But so, I think one of the things that Debbie and I have always been good at before we even knew each other was keeping relationships with people. Yeah. Because even when I was working on my other show before I even met Debbie, there were people who were like, from years past, let me help you. I can connect you with these people. Let me help you. So I don't necessarily believe in burning bridges in that, like for everybody, because I think even if they're assholes, if they can help you, just leave that door open a little bit. I don't like to close doors because you never know. And yeah. I always try to help people too.
Too many
too.
Doors is, open.
Is I know there are a lot of doors open, like Debbie's legs, but you know. Yeah, totally.
With my scissor puss. Did you say she had teeth down there? I've never heard that.
Yeah,
did
she what is that? A scissor
there
puss?
Was a, there was a, there. But I pictured when Carrie said, we all thought she had teeth down there.
I'm yeah, like, she had teeth scissor down there.
There was like, a SNL or one of those shows that did that about Hillary, that Hillary Hillary went in for her OB, her gynecologist appointment or something. I can't remember. You have to Google it.
Do you know, know the fear that the chill that gives me when you guys say teeth down there? Like,
well, that's how I felt working for her. So, you know.
Anyway, I do think that if, you know, with that being like a theme of yours and the I'm not sorry, I think there's like a TEDx talk in there for the two of you guys too, you know. Serious. Like getting up there and talking both from experience and also for like help to, you know, people who don't know how to not say I'm sorry, you know. I'm just saying, I watch a lot of those things. So there's definitely something in there. You know, before we get to that game, we'll ask this question. How long do you think John Hamm's penis is?
Go. Oh, that's going to be like 9.
9?
Carrie? Right?
On a good day?
And girthy.
Yeah, I would say a solid 8 3/4.
8 3, Brianna, you have a guess? Because I have a guess. Just might have taken a guess.
I have no way. 10. I was going to go 10.
I'm going to go 4.5 around. I'm going to go 10.5, but like with a weird curve at the end, which what makes it so renowned.
A hug to the left.
Little hook to the left. Okay.
A little G-spot on the left.
Just lean into lean. It. All right. Marry, fuck, kill. You ready?
Oh
yeah.
Okay. Uh-oh. Marry, fuck, kill. John Hamm on Mad Men. Oh, John Hamm. John Hamm as an old man. John Hamm as a funny man on SNL.
I'd fuck them all.
A fuck sandwich.
I'm going to have a triple ham sandwich. I'm not killing any of them.
What is this ham obsession? Is it
oh
just
my God. Oh, the madman. I always say to Carrie, I'm like, I want him to like get in that gear, not costume, but like the persona
the
and have his way with me and like pull my hair and like there's and like talk to me and in that super deep voice.
It's okay.
See, that's funny. When you guys did the Regé, or how do you say
it?
Regé.
I would totally pick him. I like men that I can't pronounce their name. So
Regé.
Anyway, listen, ladies, this has been
thank you so
amazing.
Much.
Oh, man, thank you so for joining fun. Us on the thank podcast. You. Give thank us some of the social us. For how we can find you, the website, the podcast name, everything.
You ready? I'm going to do our spiel. You can find us at notsorrypodcast.com. I'm not sorry. Podcast on Instagram, not sorry podcast on Facebook. I'm not sorry cast on Twitter and at I'm not sorry podcast on TikTok. Don't forget to subscribe.
Oh, you guys are TikToking. Woo. TikTok.
Well, we have an intern who TikToks for us.
Wow.
They have an intern, Brianna. Wow. We need an intern.
We are
we have an editor. That's about all we
have. Yeah, we have an editor.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need. Carrie's our editor.
Anyway, we are at Jobs Blow Podcast, jobsblowpodcast.com. I just redid the website today. All the players are up there. You can listen to the episodes on the website. I'm Mr. Josh Hyman everywhere. Brianna, you are
Brihas One.
I can
Instagram.
Never remember. Brihas One on Instagram. And we love you guys. Ladies, seriously, thank you so much for all your insight and for joining us. You guys are the funniest. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. You're the funniest.
Bye.
You're funny.
You're funny. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. All right. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.